Today's program is brought to you by Thurman Maple Days. Celebrate flowing of sap in the Adirondacks, self-guiding to 7 sites for talks, tours, tastes, and old-fashioned friendliness. For more information, visit ThurmanMapleDays.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Your ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum from the Brooklyn Kitchen, a cooking store located at 100 Frost Street in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Join me every Wednesday as I talk with people about what they do and how it influences their personal food stories. This is a show about people, life, and food. You can find Feast Your Ears as well as lots of other great shows at heritageradionetwork.org and on iTunes. Follow me on Instagram at TheFoodBaller. Today's episode 24 of Feast Your Ears, and I have in the studio with me today Kendra Dushak-McCarthy, who is a dancer and holistic health counselor. Kendra has spent years as a professional dancer and does a lot of work as a health counselor, and we're going to talk today about those worlds and how they intersect. Thanks, Kendra, for joining
me. Hi, Harry. So great to be here.
So in the modern age, there's sort of a ubiquitous question when you meet somebody, almost always, very early in the conversation, people ask what you do. So in your case, what do you do?
Well, usually I give them a list of things that I do because I don't have just one job. I'm a dancer. So that means it's a juggling act, my life. I dance in the evenings with 3 different companies. And then during the day, I work as a health coach and and whatever else. I've spent 5 years doing Wall Street work, had the bartending jobs, was a caterer for a while. Now I'm focused on health coaching and dancing. I dance with 3 different companies, the Mosaic Dance Theater Company, Check It Dance Company, which is a modern-based dance company, and then recently dancing for Tina Kroll, which is an amazing choreographer in modern dance.
Excellent. And So you end up doing a lot of performing in the evenings, I imagine?
Yes, yeah.
And you're also a holistic health counselor. So what does that mean?
A holistic health counselor, for me, is basically a health and lifestyle coach. I use integrative nutrition as a means to get clients to a healthier lifestyle, more energetic lifestyle, helping them to balance work and self-care, and which I think is something that everybody needs today, and a little support in doing that gets people to their goals.
Sure. I think that, you know, we're constantly sort of barraged by the media and advertising and film and television with these ideals,
right?
That you should eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at certain times, and that breakfast, lunch, and dinner should have certain components to them. And a lot of that is organized around potentially a life schedule that someone may not have. I mean, I think you're working at night, for instance, and dancing
Absolutely.
At night, which is incredibly physical and athletic, is very different than someone who takes the train to work and clocks in at 9 and sits at a desk and clocks out for lunch
Absolutely,
and goes home at 5.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a bit very different and your body needs different things.
Right. And I think it changes, for me, it changes daily depending on what I'm doing that day, what my schedule is, because it never looks the same. Every day is different. And one thing that I do with a lot of my clients is I express bio-individuality, which is this concept that what's right for me is not going to be right for you. If working out first in the morning before your breakfast works for you, then that's what, you know, I will help support. That idea of eating a well-balanced 3-course meals a day is a really nice concept, but it doesn't work in very busy lifestyles, which most of us New Yorkers have. In the evening, sometimes I come home and after rehearsal, you know, I had a 6-hour rehearsal. I'm starving. I'm
right.
going to eat
sure.
or else I'm going to wake up at 2 a.m. in the morning and I'm going to be famished. So, a lot of times it's a light dinner, like some hummus and vegetables, or I might graze a little bit throughout rehearsal. But it's also very difficult in dance because you can't move with a lot of food in your stomach. So you have to plan to eat the heavier meal maybe 2 hours ahead. And then we get like a little break here and there and we'll snack or grab a granola bar or something like that, something light.
Yeah, I think that there's a perception or a thought, you know, that certainly potentially comes to mind when people think of dancers, you know, that there's the idea of it being about the body and about, you know, related to modeling, things like that. But it really is way closer to athletics and being a professional athlete in terms of the fact that you are using your body completely physically in the same way that a baseball player, basketball player, someone like that is. And I'm sure it's similar for them. I mean, I'm hoping to have an interview with a professional athlete on the show about their relationship to food at some point.
Right.
But I have to imagine it's very similar. You know, you can't possibly run down the field if you just had a big meal.
Exactly. You know, it's kind of funny because my husband's involved in rugby, and we recently took our honeymoon at the World Cup in England. I was with the USA rugby team over there traveling, and I was kind of hearing about what they were eating and the, you know, heavy foods, and they did work with nutritionists, and they have that need for that high protein because that's one of the, I don't know if you've seen rugby, but it's a very vigorous sport. But I, you know, as a dancer, I'm looking at what they were eating, and I figured, wow, like all the energy that it takes to break down this meal, and then they're running around like that, you know, and dance, it's very different. We have to be light on our feet. We have to be able to move in certain ways, and a meal like that wouldn't agree with our line of work,
right?
Basically.
So, sometimes in dance, they're sprinting.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very slow and controlled. Right.
Right. And, you know, if you're sluggish after eating, like, Thanksgiving dinner, like, it's just not going to work for you and that line of work that we do. You need to have the energy as well and, you know, healthy fats because it's such a important thing for our brains because we are thrown choreography so quickly and you have to be sharp and you have to be able to pick it up. And you can't be sluggish or have a foggy mind. Yeah.
Do you find that you personally have sort of different things that you eat related to the type of dance that you're doing? You talked about how one of the companies you work with is Modern, and then you're working with a choreographer, and then the first Mosaic, what type of, does Mosaic have a focus?
Mosaic is focused on Middle Eastern dance, actually dance throughout the Mediterranean. So we cover cultures from Spain to North Africa, Greece, Turkey. So a lot of our dance styles are more earthy and grounded, a lot more percussive dance. So it's a little different than Modern. Modern is sometimes more athletic, the line of work that we're doing. But so my meal might change differently considering what I'm working on that day. I tend to lean toward, I'm a vegan, actually. I wasn't always a vegan. It's just a diet that seems to support the lifestyle that I'm living. And a plant-based diet gives me that energy that I need, and it digests quickly, it's lighter, and it agrees with my system more. Hmm. Not necessarily for everyone, but for me, it definitely works. And I feel like my digestion is faster than it used to be. So meals go through me more quickly. It's not going to sit in the stomach and be heavy. So I'm able to dance a little bit better because of that. Yeah.
How long have you been a dancer?
Basically my whole life. I began when I was 3.
Oh, wow.
Very young, taking ballet, kind of like your daughter. Mm-hmm. And then as I got older, I was interested in modern dance because it gave me an outlet to be more creative and express myself in a different way. And there was less rules and discipline and structure. It was kind of like anything goes. And if that's how your body wants to move, then we would explore that. So growing up with that was really intellectually stimulating as well. And then as I got older, I got a little away from ballet just because there was more opportunities in modern dance for me, I felt like. And I went to college for dance and studied there. I went to Kent State University for 2 years studying dance education. Then I went to Slippery Rock University where I graduated with a dance degree. And then jumped around a little bit in Philadelphia and then came here. And I've been here ever since. And so my life has been kind of a journey. It really has led me to different places.
And how do you find your clients? Your company is called The Balanced Palette.
Yeah. Basically through media. We do, we're on Facebook, The Balanced Palette, and also Twitter at Balanced Palette is our hashtag. But I find them through there or just through networking and meeting other professionals in the fitness industry. a lot of other dancers. I work with a lot of performers because it's such a hard lifestyle. It really helps to have someone support you and remind you to do these little things for yourself, to take care of yourself, and getting all that water and staying hydrated, just planning your meals out and with your busy schedule, and juggling work and dance is a whole nother ball game.
Right. I mean, a lot of people, I think, are not. I mean, you have two different things you're doing, right?
Right.
I think a lot of performers, unless they're at the top echelon, they have that as a career, and then they have to have a different career as well in many cases.
To support it. Yeah. I think that I was actually speaking to a group of high school dancers last week. I was traveling to Pittsburgh, which is my hometown, and I was telling them, technique and studying dance is really important, and when you get to a certain point, that becomes secondary, and you just have to rely that you have the technique and you've done the work to get to where you are. But learning how to balance the lifestyle with finding work that complements your rehearsal schedule and still allows you to go to those auditions, and it's difficult. It's really difficult. So that's a whole nother part of it that they don't really emphasize before you get here, that you kind of have to learn how to navigate through.
Do you sort of keep a list or a sort of canon of recipes that you suggest people use when you're sort of coaching them on what to eat, or how does the coaching work?
Well, I do. I have some like recipes that I give, and I might focus on different food groups that I feel like they're lacking. For example, I had this one client once, and she would not touch kale. She said, no, absolutely not. And I'm like, okay, you don't have to. There's so many other green leafy vegetables. Right. We'll find something else that you like. And one day she came in and was like, I can't live without kale. And I'm like, what happened? How did this come on? And she's like, I put it in my smoothies now. I don't taste it. I put a little pineapple in there. It covers up the bitterness. And I have it every day. And I'm like, that's fantastic. And I didn't ask her to do that. But she figured it out herself. And green leafy vegetables were something that were lacking in her diet. So we had to find a way. Because it's just like the basis of energy. It comes from the sun, it goes to the plant, then we eat it and we feel great. And so I might focus on a new food group like legumes or beans, or and then come up with some creative like ways to incorporate it into their, what they're already eating, so it's not a shock. And teaching them to experiment in the kitchen. I used to never cook before I studied nutrition. I really didn't get in the kitchen very often. I would eat the salads. I would eat the same things every day. And when I started studying nutrition, I was like, wow, I got to get all these antioxidants in. I have to eat the rainbow. I have to get, and then now when I shop, I try to fill like a different color of each vegetable in my basket. Try to get the reds, the greens, the purples, everything in. And so I try to make it a little more fun for my clients by focusing on aspects like that versus counting calories, counting colors, or just a different way to focus so that it's less, it's more fun and flexible.
Do you find that you end up with a sort of longer term relationship with your clients, or do you kind of give them a couple consults and then they're sort of off on their own?
Actually, it's a 6-month program.
Okay.
So we meet twice a month. And for 6 months, and I feel like that's a good length of time to make real change in their life. If you meet once or twice and then that's kind of it, they're probably not going to stick to those things, or they're going to forget and get busy. But what we do together is make small incremental changes, and we practice that and we get that down before we move on to something more difficult. That way I feel like it makes a more impact on the rest of their lives, and they're going to continue to do it and incorporate those habits. And when they only have to focus on a couple at a time, it's much easier than trying to conquer it all in a couple, consultations.
Yeah. Do you work with people of all ages?
I do. I work with a lot of women, who are in the workplace, stressful jobs. I met a lot of people working in corporate down on Wall Street, and they really struggle there. Like, you see people have a birthday every day with the cakes that coming in, they have bagels left over from this meeting or that meeting, and it's just right there, they're gonna grab it. So it's a challenge. Like, you know, they have to really like have some self-discipline.
Absolutely. I used to work in television and, you know, the catering tables that they would put out on television shoots, everything you could possibly imagine. And there was always candy and, you know, a friend of mine used to say after lunch, it was always candy salad. That's all that was on the table was bowls of different kinds of candy.
Right. Yeah. I hear about the displays in the film industry. My husband's there and he, you know, he comes home, he's not hungry. So I don't know what he had, but it's nothing I cooked.
But it's, you know, it is hard to remember those things. I mean, mm-hmm. when I used to travel in that industry, you'd be on the road and, you know, you sometimes don't have the option if what you really want is like a green salad.
Right.
And the only option where you are is some kind of fast food.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, now I feel like we're getting
better. There. Slowly right? getting
I mean, you
there.
Have those
yeah.
options starting to trickle up, Chipotle and Chopped and like these different places.
Yeah.
But, you know, 10, 15 years ago. You know,
absolutely.
Out there, we used to joke, you know, we'd go from New York to America.
Right.
And, you know, you're out there in the middle of America
or
and you don't have any options.
Yeah, I go to Pittsburgh, and last week, you know, I was pleasantly surprised to see all the options that I had, whereas 5 years ago when I went to visit my parents, I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, my mom would be like, oh, there's a turkey burger, but Mom, that's not vegan. Like, you know, it's a different concept. But I'd be like, all right, it's healthy, I get it. But, you know... But yeah, now there's a lot more options that I think people are really diving into that health and fitness goal. So
what does an average day look like for you? Like so
hard because
every day is like,
different.
Sure, right. You're saying every day is different. Like today, right?
Today.
You said you went on a long walk with your dog this morning.
Yeah, today was a beautiful day. It was unusual. Like I actually didn't have any clients today. I took kind of the day. But after this, I took a long walk with the dog. And cleaned a little bit and then came here. And then after this, I'm going to go to a class and then I'm going to have rehearsal for the evening. So and then I'll be in the studio until about 10, then get home, walk the dog again. And and if I can squeeze in a yoga class today, I probably will try, but I'm not sure I can.
It's a lot.
But yeah, if I can, I will.
You say you took the day, but you don't have any clients, but it's still a busy day.
It's still a busy day.
And
every
being
busy,
active in the evening, you know, I mean, it's a very, I think there are a lot of us. I mean, you know, I get home, I pick up my kids around 6.
Mm-hmm.
I get home and, you know, I feed them, bathe them, put them to bed. And like, if I'm lucky, I get an hour of time just to like think to myself. I can't even imagine if I was starting my activities at 5 or 6, you know, and that was going until 10.
And when I was doing like the day job, you know, I would go to work at 6 a.m. and then I would be there until about 3:30. Then I would leave from 3:30 and I had about an hour to get to rehearsal and then I would rehearse until 10. And that was brutal. I did that for 5.5 years and that was very hard. I had to make some changes this year.
Well, because I think you end up leaning on things like, you know, I mean, when I used to have that type of schedule when I was a freelancer, I mean, I would just be drinking coffee all day long. I mean, you know, 10, 12, 15 cups a day, you know, eating candy bars, sort of quick energy things, which ultimately is just sort of like such a vicious cycle where then you get home and you're hungry.
Yep.
And, you know, I remember I would get home, I'd be hungry, I would eat, and then I would go to sleep, but I wouldn't sleep well.
Because
I'd just
eaten. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a vicious cycle for sure.
We're going to take a short break and hear from one of our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll keep talking.
Great.
Today's program is brought to you by Thurman Maple Days. Celebrate flowing of sap in the Adirondacks, self-guiding to 7 sites for talks, tours, tastes, and old-fashioned friendliness. Maple syrup lovers unite. How was maple syrup made 100 years ago? What are the current practices? What are sugar shacks? Visit Thurman County and go on the maple syrup tour of a lifetime for 3 glorious weekends to celebrate the start of spring and the end of cabin fever. ThurmanMapleDays.com has all the information you need. Watch sap being gathered and boiled and see how a certified tree farm makes maximum use of the wood from maple and other trees. Enjoy a whole day of fun activities, demonstrations, sampling, and shopping for delectable goodies, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day. Like pancakes? Of course you like pancakes. Pancake breakfast at Valley Road Maple Farm is available each day, beginning at 9 a.m. and running until 1 p.m., so you won't have to miss a minute of tour time. If you can already taste the maple syrup, visit ThurmanMapleDays.com to find out more.
Welcome back to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum, and I've been speaking today with Kendra Dushak McCarthy about her life as a dancer and nutritionist. Before the break, Kendra, we were talking a little bit about how everybody kind of needs different things, different nutrients, different amounts of food, different, you know, healthy fats, things like that. Have you found, is there anything sort of across all of the clients that you've had that you would say was like lacking for everybody? Like, is there something that, you know, in our sort of current American way of eating that you think we could all use to eat more or that, you know, incorporate?
Yeah. A couple things. One is non-dietary, non-caloric. I think we all need to incorporate slowing down and taking time to ourselves. For me, that looks like a yoga class, something that'll clear my mind. But I think we get caught up in the hustle and bustle, and I think we forget to nourish ourselves with like self-care and time to ourselves, whether that's reading a book or doing something that you love that's away from your profession, I think is really important. As a holistic health counselor, I focus on other lifestyle things to support. But nutritionally, I have to say green leafy vegetables again. I think I already mentioned that. Yeah. But and I know not everyone wants to eat a salad all the time, but hiding some in a smoothie first thing in the morning and then you're running out the door is so easy to do. I actually make mine like a couple days ahead and I'll make a big picture of it and then we can have it for three mornings. That's where I sneak in all of the turmeric and the ginger and all of those healthy foods that help me keep the inflammation down from like the wear and tear on my body. Sure. Versus reaching for the Aleve and the Tylenol. It's so much easier and better for myself. So I would say more anti-inflammatory foods like that, like the green leafy vegetables are such a good source to help purify the blood. And when you have healthy blood, you know, it's the basis of everything.
Absolutely.
Body.
It's definitely, you know, with kids, I mean, there's, lots of stuff written about, lots of people talk about trying to get kids to eat vegetables. I feel like I'm fairly lucky. My kids do like to eat vegetables, although I find them to be very fickle about it.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying.
As kids are, and they should be. And,
yeah, of course, of course. They seem to, carrots, I can get them to eat all the time.
Right.
Carrots are easy. Green leafy vegetables, not always.
Right.
But it's definitely, the idea of what can I sort of fit them into.
Yeah.
And I never think about having them as part of breakfast.
Right.
Strangely enough.
Yeah.
I never think about that. We almost always have oatmeal for breakfast. Mm-hmm. They love oatmeal. I have a rice cooker that has a timer and I set it the night before.
Great.
So it's ready. Like I have to do nothing for breakfast except take it out of there. But what you are just talking about makes me think, well, maybe I should mix in some ginger, some turmeric, could chop up some kale.
Yep.
Spinach, any of those things into that oatmeal. Because we eat savory oatmeal, too. I mean, we do poached egg with oatmeal, things like that.
Yeah, great. And if you throw, a few of those, fruits, like bananas or a tropical fruit, like a pineapple in there, it covers up every taste of that green vegetable. And they'll never know. Like, it really comes through.
Yeah.
The flavors really stick out.
It's so funny. I don't know if it's taste with my kids,
or
really.
Color,
I think it's visual. So my daughter recently was asking for, she was reading Green Eggs and Ham to her little brother, and she was like, "Dad, can I have green eggs?" And I was like, "Sure, just put a drop of food coloring in the scrambled eggs."
Right.
And then the next day she asked for red eggs, and she's looking at the she's looking at the food coloring, and then the day after that she was helping me, and we ended up putting by accident a drop of red and a drop of green, which turned the scrambled eggs brown. And she refused to eat them.
Huh.
And I said, but, they taste exactly the same. And she refused. She would not put them in her mouth.
That's interesting.
So I'm wondering, I wonder how much of kids' dislike of things is aesthetic.
I think
almost.
There's a lot to that, for sure. And I think we build those habits and into our adult life. I worked for, there was one executive I worked with that I never saw eat a green vegetable in 5.5 years. And I was like, how are you still here?
Right,
you have to, it was my goal to get him to eat something green. And he just wanted peanut butter and jelly with the crust cut off on white bread. And I'm like,
awful. And he made it to be an executive.
So boring.
Huh?
Yeah. live a little.
Yeah.
But,
I've for years had this sort of personal, theory that I've never researched or been able to sort of corroborate in any way, but you know, I grew up loving eating things like lima beans and Brussels sprouts. Mm-hmm. I always liked them.
Wow, great.
But, and so, you know, when I went to college, I actually was vegan in college.
Okay.
Sort of by happenstance. I lived with a bunch of people who were vegan, but I was the only one who cooked.
Okay.
And so I ended up cooking vegan and being vegan. And I remember very specifically cooking Brussels sprouts. We had a farm share. We had a farm on our campus. And
wow,
we got
brilliant.
Brussels sprouts on the stalk. And mm-hmm. I cooked them. And all of my roommates said, ugh, God, Brussels sprouts. And I looked at them all and I said, do you have any idea what they actually taste like? Have you
Probably
ever
not.
Actually put one in your mouth? Because I think that there's this, again, it's back to this sort of media and
right.
cultural influence thing where kids are not, people aren't, you know, you're supposed to think that that's a gross vegetable.
Right.
And sure, you know, I've certainly encountered people and I've been to dinner at people's houses where, like, you know, when I was a kid, my friend's mom used to overcook every vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't taste good. They were bitter and soft and kind of
sure.
gross tasting. But I think that there are a couple of sort of touch points of things we're supposed to think aren't good.
Right.
That we don't, as adults now, we just think we don't like them. We don't actually know we don't like them because we haven't tasted them as
adults. Because we haven't actually tried it.
Right.
Yeah. Or there's a texture thing. I think
yeah.
I see that a lot with clients. Maybe they don't like the gooey texture of something.
Sure.
So, like, if you can make it in a way that's not that way, or roast it, or, you know, yeah, I think that there's a lot to that, definitely.
For sure. I wanted to talk a little bit about you also, aside from studying dance, studied gerontology.
Yes,
right?
And I
did. For people who aren't familiar with that, it's the study of the effects of aging on
mm-hmm.
the body and the mind. And so I wanted to sort of bring that up. Today happens to be my birthday. So
yes,
thinking,
happy birthday.
Thank you. Thinking about aging, obviously, as I do maybe once a year, you know, I wanted to sort of talk with you about that. I don't know a ton about it as a sort of
right,
area of study,
right.
but I'm curious to know kind of what it covers and what it looks at. And, you know, sort of like, so me, I'm 39 today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost 40. Are there things coming in the aging of my like body and mind and things that I should be aware of, or how, you know, how does that
yeah.
study work?
You know, I'm seeing a lot more older adults today be more and more active.
Mm.
And actually, I was talking to my choreographer yesterday because she teaches a Middle Eastern dance class to at a senior center. And, you know, that the women that go to it, and there's some men too, and they love it because it's gentle on the body. They can move. They get out of the house. They make a routine of it and come every week. And it's something to focus on. And they're seeing, like, less and less arthritis. They're, you know, able to move easier, get around easier. And in New York, you know, it's hard to get around when you're, you know, impaired. Or I recently broke my foot and learned that the hard way with the crutches down 42nd Street.
Oh,
but, yeah, and it's, you know, it's about living longer, staying healthier. And I think it's becoming such a trend. People want to get involved and, like, see what they don't want to sit around. Like the baby boomer, you know, group, they don't want to sit around and
yeah.
just, you know, do puzzles all day. Like they want to challenge themselves. They want to move. And dance was rated one of like the top things that seniors are voting on doing today.
Yeah, I mean, I think I started doing yoga, I think, maybe when I turned 30 or something.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, maybe my late 20s, but I had not been an athlete as a child or as a teenager at all,
right.
even in my 20s. You know, I was a smoker at one point, you know, like I really
right.
was not athletic in any way, but I started doing yoga and love it. I mean, what you said earlier about people needing to sort of slow down
yeah.
and, you know, if I don't make it to at least one yoga class a week, I feel like I'd need that time.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, it allows you to unplug. I mean, nobody can call me, you know, nobody mm-hmm. can like find me. I mean, that's
right.
And again, I guess that fits in a little bit too. I mean, like I said, I was never athletic. I started jogging when I was like 33.
Right.
And since my son was born, I haven't done it as much, but it's still something that I do enjoy doing. And part of it for me is psychological. It's not just
Absolutely.
Physical.
Yeah.
It is about the fact that like, if I'm on a 45-minute run, I very specifically don't run with my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want people to be able to reach me.
Right.
I want that time where I like am just separated and I can't, you know.
Yeah, and you know, those stimulations that are so distracting, you can just focus on yourself. And I think we as a society have lost connection to ourselves, where there's just too much to do, not enough time in the day. You know, there's 100 reasons, but I think yoga, especially for me, has been an outlet where I have to focus on myself and nobody else in the room matters to me. It's what's going on with me and my body and tuning in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that has fascinated me about both of those things, and especially as I get older, I mean, I have friends who are marathoners, you
mm-hmm.
know, who are now in their 40s, almost 50, who, you know, their times are actually going up.
Yeah.
They're not getting faster, but they're still doing it. And to me, there's something sort of valuable in that psychological exercise as well. Like at a certain point, you can keep getting better, but then you're not going to be able to keep getting better, but you can keep doing it. And, you know, yoga is something sort of a little bit different where I know that I will never be great at yoga because it takes lifetimes, really, right? I mean, the true yogis are people who are practicing daily.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to practice daily, but that's okay because it really is something that you do for yourself and you continue to incrementally, very incrementally, get a little bit better.
And reap the benefits on the way,
sure.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And enjoy the journey, not necessarily, but there is no end, right? There's no goal. I'm not going to get to a point where I'm like, well, I'm perfect at yoga.
And
I'm
some
done.
Days I can do, you know, some of the most challenging.
Sure.
And then the next day I'm like, nope, this isn't going to agree today.
Yep.
We're not going to be doing that back then. But yeah, I think it looks different every day. But yoga is so great. I love it. I could talk about it all day.
Well, we're almost out of time. Do you have any performances coming up?
I do. I'm performing next weekend at the Harkness Dance Festival at the 92nd Street Y. And I'm dancing with Tina Kroll. I think our show is at 8 p.m. Friday, 8 p.m. Saturday, and 3 p.m. on Sunday. Yeah, it's a great group of dancers, modern dance. And yeah, it's great to be a part of it. I have that coming up. And then this summer, my modern dance company, Check It Dance, puts on a festival celebrating female choreographers. And it's going to be, I think, July 23rd this year. And that'll be in the city as well.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
And people can find out more about that online.
Absolutely online. Yep.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kendra. It's been a real nice time talking with you, and I'm definitely going to try and make it out with my daughter to see some of your performances. I'm sure she would enjoy it as a young dancer.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much, everybody, for listening to
Happy
Feast
Birthday,
Your Ears.
Harry.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Feast Your Ears today. Big thank you to Kristen Baylor, my producer, and David Tadashore for engineering. And please take a moment to like the show on Facebook and iTunes, and follow me on Instagram. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.